everybody. Welcome back to Solo Performance Solutions. Chris McCabe here, flying solo this week. Prime Day week, Prime Days. Leah is off exploring the wonderful universe of compliance nightmares and emergencies and helping people troubleshoot compliance-related ASIN takedowns, which, of course, are quite common during this peak sales period. I have been dealing more with attack, competitor abuse, black hat methodology, some of which is old, some of which is new. As most of you know, if you've been selling on Amazon for a while, many black hat type competitors understand what buttons to press and when. As today's the first day of Prime Day, and we'll be posting this later this week, we haven't seen the full breadth of attacks just yet. I'm seeing the early ones. I will report back next week with some of the examples that I have started troubleshooting. But because attacks are so rife during Prime Day, and because a lot of people have failed to properly appeal ASIN takedowns before Prime Day, we're going to keep this episode pretty short, and I'll sync back up next week. What I wanted to focus on now was all the conversations I've had with sellers who think Amazon cannot see or view their sales funnel, I guess you could call it, their attempts to get positive reviews. It's understandable that people are afraid of shrinking margins, rising costs, increased Amazon fees. Everyone knows the cost challenges. Everyone knows the competitive challenges with selling on Amazon. That doesn't mean that it's a smart move to just blindly believe some marketing agency you hire, some service you hire, someone you met at a conference. I know I recorded a video on this recently, but what I want to focus on today is this notion that I've heard in numerous calls, I would say at least a dozen in the last 2 weeks. Well, we were doing blank, we were doing this, we were doing that, but we don't think Amazon can see that. So start from a position, especially if you've already received a warning message, or if you're like one of the sellers that I've been talking to with the 72-hour warning, they're circling the drain of an Amazon account suspension at a pretty bad time of year, I might add. Start with the assumption that Amazon can see anything you've done. And that's because whether you're doing it yourself or you're hiring a service to do it, your sales funnel, your product review acceleration process, if you want to call it that, is probably meant to reach as many people as possible. You're not being that selective. If you've hired some service, he says, oh no, we're only going to get this to trusted buyers that we've used before. Well, that tells you something in and of itself that's a red flag. But even beyond that, they're not being straightforward and truthful about it because they're trying to get as many reviews for you as possible. Many different ways of doing it, sometimes sending postcards through the mail. I don't know who came up with this notion. I don't know why people believed it. I don't know why anyone's doing it. That was an old trick being recycled. The product inserts are not as in fashion now. I still see people putting QR codes on inserts and trying to make sure the insert itself doesn't have any damning language on it, but making damn sure that the bad content is wherever you scan the QR code, wherever it takes you. Assume that your competitors have looked at all of this stuff. Assume that your competitors know how to report abuse. They probably understand if they're bothering to report it, they probably already understand that there are teams at Amazon dedicated to investigating this stuff. And just because those teams often don't take any action, just out of laziness or incompetence or disinterest, that doesn't mean that it works, that it's a usable hack. I've talked to, I don't know how many sellers in the past 6-7 days, especially European-based sellers who are using tricks that are years old. I guess they were just recycled and they were repackaged, prepared as a repackaged product. And if anyone bothers to ask whether or not it's compliant, they just accept whatever explanation they're given. So if you're talking to one of these marketing agencies and they talk to you about how they did it on their own account and they never got suspended on their own account, that's meaningless. What difference does it make if they never get suspended and you always get suspended? Marketing funnels, product review boosts, any of these tricks or hacks or gimmicks that are being pushed, I'm not shocked that they're still being pushed because they'll always be pushed. I think those types of services are kind of like mold. They'll always just keep growing back no matter what you do to eradicate them. But what shocks and alarms me is the gullibility of the sellers who are paying these people, because you're essentially paying out cash that you could probably use in a better way elsewhere. You're paying them money to get you into high-risk behavior, to get you into trouble. And those agencies, I've seen the crappy appeals they do. They have no idea how to appeal. If they offer you free help to get you out, it's too late already. They've already gotten you into trouble, number one. Number two, they have absolutely no idea what they're doing with appeals. They either scratch it out themselves or they hire some low-paid, low-grade template mill type service to do it. Which, if you know anything about Amazon at this point, if you've been around for more than a year or two, you know that the copy and paste appeals are not only worthless, but they burn through appeal attempts. So I've talked about that on numerous other podcasts with other agency owners, with Leah, with lots of people. I won't dwell on that today. The main point today, if you take nothing else away from this week's podcast, if you're too busy with Prime Day, listen to this some other time, but listen to these two sentences, which is, assume Amazon gets screenshots of your entire funnel, and if there's anything in there that could remotely be interpreted as violating the rules, they will have the incentive to enforce it, to investigate more, to at least send you warnings. Nowadays, they send many, many fewer policy violation warnings and many more warnings that you have to appeal within 72 hours to keep your account. I don't know if sellers realize this. I don't know who realizes the extent of that shift. I don't see warnings on individual ASINs. I haven't for months. If I do see those, they've just deleted the reviews on that ASIN and they're not threatening the whole account. They're probably waiting to see if you're doing those types of practices on other ASINs and then they will threaten the whole account. Yes, that's true. But right now, most people who are caught doing the insert, doing the postcards, and I've said this so many times, it doesn't even matter if you ask for a review. So many people say, we gave tons of product away, we didn't ask for a review. That statement is meaningless. When you say that, it just tells me that you are way behind the times or you have no idea what you're doing. And I put it in those harsh terms because people keep making avoidable, basic rookie mistakes over and over. And then, yes, they come to us for help, but it's not even about that. They didn't have to get the 72-hour warning in the first place. The reason they got the warning was because they talked themselves into believing a fallacy, or they have an inner monologue in their head which says, Amazon can't see what I'm doing. It's not through buyer-seller messaging. Therefore, we can get some reviews, or we can promote our brand with discounts and freebies and promotions, or we can do a raffle or a contest. Amazon won't see it. We won't get caught. Why are you not assuming that competitors are taking as many shots at you as possible? They can get lots more sales and lots more money if you're not on the platform, right? This is just basic logic. So I understand you're telling yourself something that you want to hear. And I understand that maybe because of shrinking margins, you're trying to boost your review count so that you don't lose sales rank. That part is semi-logical. The rest of it's totally illogical because you're not going to make any money if you lose the account. Numerous people who are put in the 72-hour appeal cycle do not maintain their active status. They might be reinstated later. We've worked on cases like that. We've handled appeals like that. People who came to us way, way late in the process, why they come to professionals so late is something you would have to ask them. I'll never understand why they risk the health or the life of their whole business by doing their own amateur level appeals. But you can prevent the entire thing by understanding that whatever you're looking at, competitors are looking at. If competitors are seeing it, and that could just be one or two of your buyers, it could just be one or two of your orders. It doesn't have to be a whole league of people. If they are seeing it, assume Amazon sees it. Assume they know how to report abuse. Because at this stage, I think just about everyone knows that opening random support cases or sending emails into random email queues at Amazon, of course, that results in no action. I think everyone knows that that's a waste of time. What's changed? People know how to put things on seller forums. People know how to use Twitter and attract the attention of abuse reporting teams. People at this point, most sellers, most brand owners know how to email directly to senior management figures at Amazon, laying out all of this stuff. If it's something quick, something you can action without a lot of effort, without a lot of reading, without a lot of studying, without a lot of investigation, guess what? People at Amazon grab on that opportunity with both hands. And they're ready to enforce it. If there's something more complicated, more murky, more difficult to understand, yeah, that's probably going to go on their back burner, which makes them doubly more likely to focus on abuse reports about you if you're doing obvious sloppy mistakes with either what's on your product inserts, what happens when you scan the QR code. And once again, without going too far into the whole postcard thing, sending physical mail to people. I'll include the policy links with this podcast. It's very straightforward. Amazon took out a lot of the ambiguous language. Yes, I understand they weren't necessarily enforcing against some sellers in some region, especially in Europe. They seem to have been leaving them alone for a long time, which is no longer the case. But the language is clear. They want you communicating with buyers through buyer-seller messaging. They don't want what they call inappropriate communications with buyers or extra and unnecessary communication with buyers. You have to look at the wording of these pages. And it's not that hard to understand what they're driving at. They don't want the inserts. They don't want the postcards. They don't want you harvesting their emails. When you direct buyers to enter your email, you can get a free item or win some contest. Understand that if you're using these marketing or sales methods, you are way behind the times, number one. Number two, you're playing a high-risk gamble with your entire account. And some of those people who cannot dispute to Amazon satisfaction, dispute the nature of the offense, submit a strongly worded and also strategically sound appeal, which convince Amazon that you never violated the policy in the first place, I'm sure by now you've heard some of those really large accounts aren't coming back. Some of the reoffenders who have been caught doing things like this before, most of them, I would say, are not coming back. I've told some reoffenders this week, last month, back into the month of May, and I certainly would have told many of the sellers who came to our seller loft in France, if I knew this European enforcement wave was coming, I would have said this a month ago. The reoffenders, I mean, don't give up instantly, but understand the situation you're in. Understand that no one's going to guarantee you reinstatement. You can't guarantee it for yourself. I can't guarantee it for you. You've placed yourself in a predicament where it looks to Amazon like you're just not interested in following rules. Maybe it looks like you don't care about your brand. You don't care about your business. Well, if you don't care, if you're willing to be this reckless, why should Amazon care about reading your appeals? This is one of the things I agree with Amazon on. If you don't look serious, if you look like you're just trying to poke holes in whatever policy pages they've got and look for loopholes or exploit Amazon's enforcement gaps, or you're in some Facebook group where they're offering you discounted services to some fraudster shady service that they're getting a piece of the action, they're getting a little bit of extra money, and supposedly you're getting some good, clean, positive reviews out of it. I mean, if you're playing games like that in the middle of 2025, you're basically wearing a giant t-shirt that tells Amazon you don't care and you don't plan on doing it the Amazon way. So without continuing the lecture, without continuing to pound fists on the table here, just understand, acknowledge to yourself, don't make excuses later. Understand to yourself that if you are paying these services to do these potentially illicit, shady tactics, tactics that probably don't even work that well anymore anyway, right? They're probably just sales pitching you into belief no matter what their actual results are. But aside from that, understand that your competitors are seeing and looking for opportunities to report you for bad behavior. And those reports, if they're properly submitted to Amazon, will not fall on deaf ears anymore. If your competitors are just opening random useless support cases, sending emails into queues, yes, some of you will get away with this for a little bit of time. I don't see how it's worth the risk. I don't see how it's worth your whole account, but that's a decision you can make. If you don't really care how long you're on the site, then you're deciding in advance it's high risk and it's high reward and you want to do that. Hopefully there won't be too many questions on this week's episode, because to me, this is pretty crystal clear at this point. Amazon's made it clear it's not just US sellers. I've heard from many sellers all over Europe, we thought that was just in the US. We didn't think it was us. Well, as the last 14 to 17 days have shown, Amazon's quite willing to take down hundreds, if not thousands, of European accounts for sloppy, shoddy behavior where you're asking buyers to change reviews from a one-star to a five-star after you give them a gift card or help them out, or the postcards. I still don't understand why people think sending physical mail to a buyer's address is somehow under the radar and no one will ever see that who's going to report it to Amazon. That's the most ludicrous thing I've heard in a long time. Yes, I understand there are people at events and conferences, especially events and conferences in Europe, seem to be rife with this kind of marketing BS and faulty reasoning and risky behavior. I mean, at that point, if you're willing to believe anything, there's really nothing I can do to dissuade you. You're just going to teach yourself that you can get away with things and then maybe apologize later. We're not really in an apologize later world anymore with Amazon. So if you have questions on that particular piece, let us know after Prime Week is over. Thank you.